It's Monday, February 2nd, 2009, day 11 of
President Obama DEA Raid Watch.
In 2008, candidate Barack Obama was asked about his position on DEA raids on California medical marijuana providers.
When it comes to medical marijuana, I have more of a practical view than anything else.
On Tuesday, January 20th, 2009, Barack Obama was inaugurated as our 44th president of the United States.
What I'm not going to be doing is using Justice Department resources to try to circumvent state laws on this issue.
On Thursday, January 22nd, 2009, Barack Obama's Justice Department resources were used in a DEA raid to circumvent California's medical marijuana laws.
I want folks to be investigating violent crimes and potential terrorism.
President Obama, you can redirect Justice Department resources, but so far, you've said and done nothing.
We got a lot of things for our law enforcement officers to deal with.
Mr. Obama, shut down these raids. Brought to you by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws at norml.org, who believe it should be normal for politicians to listen to the will of the people. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org, and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers. Welcome to the podcast. Say, did anything interesting involving sports and marijuana happen this weekend that I should know about? Yeah, you've probably heard the story and seen the pictures already. Olympian Michael Phelps, 14-time gold medal winner, the only 8 gold medal winner ever in one Olympics, probably the greatest Olympian ever, was caught photographed smoking a bong at a college party. So much about that amotivational syndrome, huh? We got more on that coming up in our hemp headlines, as well as the rest of our trifecta, President Obama's half-brother getting busted for weed, and a celeb stoner all-NFL drug bust team member, Santonio Holmes, catching the winning touchdown in the Super Bowl. Before we get to that, though, I want to give a shout-out to all the stashers out there that are helping us to be the growing truth about cannabis on the internet. Take a look at our stats here from the blog. For the month of January, we had the highest trafficked month ever, all the way up over 60,000 hits for the month, now averaging about 3,000 hits a day. I know it's not a whole lot compared to some of the huge blogs out there on the internet, but considering how we started just within the year, it's pretty impressive if you ask me. Also want to remind you that the voting has started on the $10,000 Normal Pro Cannabis Ad Contest. Check out the blog at stash.normal.org. Over on our sidebar in the important stash, we've got President Obama's head sitting there asking you to vote on your three favorite ads that help to explain why we need to end adult marijuana prohibition. Also, another new feature out there on the stash, our Activist Agenda, a Google Calendar for the entire country. So if you're interested in what you can do today, you can look right there on that calendar and see what's happening in your area. We'll also be posting the premiere times of various documentaries, movies, TV shows regarding the cannabis community. And, of course, all the summertime hemp festivals will be there as well. Check it out at stash.normal.org/activist-agenda, or just click on the calendar link from our blog at stash.normal.org. Now, looking at the agenda on Tuesday, we've got a hearing in South Dakota on House Bill 1127. That is a medical marijuana bill that would protect patients' rights in the workplace. So you'll want to check that out in South Dakota. In New Hampshire on Thursday, there's a hearing on House Bill 575. This is a bad bill. This is one of those per se DUID bills where if they catch you with any metabolites of marijuana in your blood, you are a DUI. No joke. And on Friday, there's a hearing in Montana on Senate Bill 326. This would provide greater access to medical marijuana for patients, expands the number of conditions and so on, also protecting workplace rights a little bit. Check that out at our activist agenda. The calendar's at stash.normal.org. Now, on today's Stash, we've got an interview with Matt Simon from New Hampshire with the New Hampshire Coalition for Compassionate Care and their involvement in medical marijuana bills in New Hampshire. And in our second interview, we'll be speaking with the director of NORML, Alan St. Pierre, to get his take on the trifecta of cannabis-related stories that took place this weekend. All that, plus hemp headlines and your daily toker tunes from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com. It's time for your NORML Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our NORML Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. Michael Phelps apologizes for marijuana use. Olympic great Michael Phelps has acknowledged regrettable behavior and bad judgment after a photo in a British newspaper showed him smoking marijuana. In a statement released to the Associated Press, the swimmer, who won a record 8 gold medals at the Beijing Games, conceded the authenticity of the exclusive picture published Sunday by the tabloid News of the World. Phelps said, quote, "I engaged in behavior which was regrettable and demonstrated bad judgment. I'm 23 years old, and despite the successes I've had in the pool, I've acted in a youthful and inappropriate way, not in a manner people have come to expect from me. For this, I am sorry. I promise my fans and the public it will not happen again." End quote. Youthful and inappropriate. Childish things, as our president might say. It will not happen again. Not to get all Clintonian on you, Mike, but does it refer to smoking marijuana, or does it refer to photos surfacing in newspapers showing you smoking marijuana? I'll never understand the mindset that accepts as rational the idea that these world-class athletes, Michael Phelps, Ricky Williams, Rosser Bagliotti, those Russian sumos, that these guys can dedicate their entire lives to eating right, working out, honing their bodies and minds to the pinnacle of their sport. But if they want to relax and unwind, they've got to ingest a hard liquid drug that has noticeably deleterious effects on health and athletic ability, rather than a mild herb that doesn't seem to have affected their abilities whatsoever. Even more perplexing is the notion that, in the name of sports medicine, these athletes are accustomed to taking all manner of narcotic painkillers and other pharmaceutical cocktails that aid performance or mitigate injury, but are addicting and wreak havoc on the liver and kidneys. But if we catch them smoking weed, we've got to mete out a severe punishment. As I look at the coverage of this story, almost all the comments I see are like, it's well past time to legalize it, or so what, or it didn't hurt his performance any. But the best response I've seen so far has been from Radley Balco out at the Agitator blog. I've posted a link to his essay. It's his letter of what Michael Phelps should have said, and it is brilliant. So check it out at our blog, stash.normal.org. Marijuana charges against George Obama dropped in Nairobi. Nairobi, Kenya. All charges against George Obama, half-brother to U.S. President Barack Obama, have been dropped after his arrest in a drug raid, according to police in Kenya. George Obama was arrested in Kenya on suspicion of marijuana possession, according to police. He was released on Saturday, hours later, police added. Obama was arrested in a Nairobi slum, and he was picked up with people who possessed marijuana, said police spokesman Eric Kareth. Kareth said, quote, "Being found with people who are in possession of cannabis is a petty offense," end quote. Earlier, police had told CNN that Obama had been arrested for possessing cannabis and resisting arrest, which can carry a sentence of up to a year in jail or hefty fines. Ah, the old, "it wasn't mine, it was his," defense. Something tells me that a Kenyan named George Not Obama would be sitting in a jail right now. George Obama, Al Gore III, Noel Bush, Roger Clinton. Between the four of them, they were busted for marijuana. Marijuana, Xanax, Valium, Vicodin, Adderall, and driving 100 miles per hour on the freeway. Xanax and cocaine and drunk driving, respectively. Of these four White House relatives, only Roger Clinton did any time in jail, 1 year for cocaine distribution, and even then his brother pardoned him, so he doesn't have a pesky felony drug charge on his record. It's not that I want rich or powerful people or their relatives put in jail for their drug use. For driving 100 miles per hour on a freeway, yeah, but not for their drug use. It's that I want Rachel Hoffman, Jonathan Magbe, Eddie Lepp, and all the rest of us to get the rich and powerful treatment. Special dispensation for upper-class drug use only feeds into our reckoning that prohibitionist drug policy is nothing but a tool of controlling the lower classes.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
Is home drug testing a parental necessity or overreaction? So I found this interesting article that had a track back to my California Teens on Prescriptions post. I think their related post feature just scans for keywords without regard to content, because I couldn't have a more opposite view than this one.
"I suggest that parents would be well served to sit down with their children and start talking about a home drug testing program as early as middle school. If the idea of drug testing your teens sounds unreasonable, consider how much times have changed. If someone told me when I was in high school, by the time my son attended middle school, that police officers and dogs trained to detect drugs would patrol school hallways, I would have never believed it. Metal detectors and school shootings aren't nightmares, they have become a reality. From the time children are very young, they're taught to just say no to drugs, and I'm convinced that peer pressure usually gets worse when they do. Teens don't know what to say next. Parents who follow through with a home drug testing program give their teens a socially acceptable excuse. The words, 'my parents test me,' stop pushy peers in their tracks. The final component of a successful program is effective parental follow-through. Teens want their parents to trust them. If they think their parents are naive and or won't test them, they are more likely to try drugs because they don't expect to get caught. While teens place a high value on maintaining their parents' trust, they just don't feel it is in jeopardy without testing. Teens' behavior and choices change when they know that it is a near certainty rather than a virtual impossibility, that their drug use will be discovered.
Drug test your kids? Yes, another pseudoscience quick fix for bad parenting. That's what we need. If you're at the point of mis- or non-communication with your teen that you need a chemical assay of the metabolites of their urine to know whether they are using drugs, you've got bigger issues to deal with. If you're at the point of suspecting but not knowing, what are you using the test for? To shame your child at the kitchen table courtroom? Your Honor, I can prove the defendant lied about smoking a joint at that killer's concert. Please, stop it. Drug testing your kids is a bad idea. Don't take my word for it. Believe the pediatricians. From November 2000 to June 2003, Sharon Levy, MD, and colleagues at the Children's Hospital Corporation in Boston analyzed the features of home drug testing kits for adolescents available through the internet. They also examined recommendations that drug testing companies offered parents to guide them in using these products. As a result of this project, the Committee on Substance Abuse of the American Association of Pediatrics amended its adolescent drug testing policy to include a statement discouraging home drug testing by parents.
Stupid Stoner Stories.
As a public service, Normal reminds you that smoking marijuana will not make one stupid. However, some stupid people do smoke marijuana. Don't be one of those stoners that make the rest of us look bad. Learn your lesson from today's
Stupid Stoner Story.
Highland Hills, Ohio employee charged with marijuana offenses twice in 2 hours.
A service department employee who was released Tuesday morning after being charged with drug possession was rearrested less than 2 hours later when he was caught driving a village truck while smoking marijuana, police said. Village police investigator David Coran said he saw Brown driving the village truck on Northfield Road at 8 a.m. Quote, the driver was Donald Brown, who was just released from our custody after being arrested for marijuana possession and use around 6 a.m. It was apparent that Brown would still be under the influence of marijuana, end quote, Coran wrote in his report. Police said when Brown was asked why he was smoking marijuana after just having been released for possession of marijuana, he told police he had, quote, only smoked a roach and was fine to drive, end quote. Police arrested Brown after he failed field sobriety tests. According to the report, Brown said that the police were out to get him and that he, quote, only smokes weed, not crack, not heroin, end quote. Brown was initially arrested around 6 a.m. when officers on foot patrol near Brown's apartment smelled, quote, a strong odor of marijuana coming from Brown's apartment, end quote, police said. They knocked on the door. Brown answered and admitted he had been smoking marijuana, according to police. They said they confiscated a baggie of marijuana and arrested Brown.
Okay, kids, time for another one of our daily audio stash drug tests. Now, don't worry. You don't even have to pee. This test is multiple choice. Question 1. When police smell marijuana coming from your house and they knock on your door, the proper response is A, no response at all. There is no law saying you must answer your door when police knock without a warrant. B, look through your peephole and ask, who is it? When they say police, you ask, do you have a warrant? When they say no, say, sorry, no warrant, no conversation. Or C, open up the door and say, yes, officers, I've been smoking marijuana. Question 2. When you have just smoked a roach, you are A, too impaired to drive, B, probably not very impaired, but you shouldn't drive anyway, or C, fine to drive. Question 3. When you have just been busted and released for possession of marijuana, the next thing you should do is A, call an attorney with the Normal Legal Committee, make sure you've got his number stored in your cell phone, and call him the next time you have an encounter with a police officer. B, learn about your rights when dealing with a police officer and learn new lifestyle habits to avoid police detection in the first place. Or C, drive around in your city-issued truck smoking a doobie. And question four, final question. Police are sworn to find, arrest, and help convict A, people who break the law, B, dangerous criminals, C, people who use crack and heroin, but not marijuana. If you answered A or B to any question, you just might smoke pot all your life and never encounter a single law enforcement issue. If you answered C to any question, you'll probably be sharing a cell with this guy someday.
Are you or is someone you know a marijuana smoker? Have you or is someone in your family been arrested for a marijuana violation? You need to know the truth about pot. NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, is the most comprehensive source of information regarding marijuana and its effects on health, as well as legal issues. NORML even offers a database of lawyers specializing in cannabis in your area. NORML, the nation's largest and most successful marijuana law reform organization, has spent decades gathering the knowledge and science on everything related to cannabis. NORML is the best resource to find out the truth about marijuana, connect with a lawyer in your area, or help find an end to prohibition. Information is available at normal.org, that's NORML.org, or toll free at 888-67-NORMAL.
National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws is the largest grassroots drug law reform organization in America. So every Monday we visit with the activists in drug law reform who are fighting for our freedom. Freedom, the freedom. I'm freedom to whatever I want. Get motivated to get it regulated. Join us in some political activism today. You can start by visiting norml.org. This time of year, we get a lot of bills heading through various state legislatures, and now we're going to take a look at the great northeast of this country, and specifically the state of New Hampshire. We're joined by Matt Simon from the New Hampshire Coalition for Common Sense Marijuana Policy. And Matt, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Brett. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Now, apparently we've got a bill here that we're looking at in New Hampshire, this House Bill 648, and you've launched a new website to help support it. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what's going on in the Granite State?
Sure. Yeah, House Bill 648, we just got our number and got the bill introduced a few days ago, and we've got a new website up. It's nhcompassion.org. This is a medical marijuana bill similar to bills in several other states that people are pretty familiar with. We're just trying to make New Hampshire finally become the 14th state to pass an effective medical marijuana law.
And it is kind of strange that you guys haven't got one yet, because, of course, Vermont on one side of you and Maine on the other have medical marijuana bills. What's been the problem trying to get these bills through your legislature there in New Hampshire?
Well, it's been a matter of, I mean, Republicans controlled both houses of the legislature for like 100 years. So there are a lot of social type issues that conservatives held the day on until very recently, and the Democrats now have majorities in both the House and Senate for the second election in a row. And we think they're going to be more confident. Now, several Republicans will support the legislation, but definitely having Democratic majorities and just the extent to which people now have come to understand the need for this legislation, that it's not about legalizing marijuana for everybody, but there are people who really desperately need marijuana as medicine, and we need to, regardless of all that other stuff, we need to act now and exempt these people from criminal penalties and the threat of arrest.
Do you have any polls showing public support growing for medical marijuana in New Hampshire?
Yeah, we do. The poll last year, in April of last year, 71% of New Hampshire voters supported changing the law, and only 21% of people in the state were actually against it of voters. And even among Republican voters, it was a clear majority. Among the older demographic, among every demographic agreed that a medical marijuana law that it's time for this in New Hampshire. And it's just getting the politicians to catch up and realize that they're not going to get their head chopped off if they vote for this.
Excellent. Now, this House Bill 648, is it similar to other medical marijuana statutes throughout the country in that it has qualifying conditions and plant limits and possession limits and so on?
Yes, absolutely. All of that. Some of the details are still being worked out. The sponsor is talking about there's still ongoing conversations about how the bill might be amended by the House Health and Human Services Committee. So the details, if people look up the bill, the details see are very much subject to change. And, four of our sponsors are on that committee, so very confident that any changes they want will be, very likely. We're very likely to get the bill we want out of this committee. Sometimes when the committee is against you, they can wreck your bill for you and make the entire year hell. We actually have four sponsors on the committee, and it just set up, I think, we're very cautiously optimistic. You know, things can go wrong anytime you're in the legislature,
but oh, yeah.
We feel really good this year.
Excellent. Now, if people in New Hampshire want to get involved and help you guys out, are there particular legislators they need to contact or websites they should visit?
We'll be posting more information about that very soon at nhcompassion.org. Definitely members of the House Health and Human Services Committee or 20 representatives that will need to hear from us initially, in addition to people contacting their own legislators and trying to initiate dialogue about this. Absolutely, we'll be posting more of that information within the next couple days. I mean, certainly if people are in New Hampshire, I'd encourage them to sign up for our newsletter, which is right there on the site as well.
Excellent. Well, we'll have everyone log on to nhcompassion.org. We've got a link to that up on this post at stash.normal.org. And Matt Simon is with the New Hampshire Coalition for Common Sense Marijuana Policy, who are helping to get this bill shepherded through the legislature. If you guys do manage to get it through the legislature, do you have support from your governor, or like Connecticut, would you face the possibility of a veto?
That's what we don't know yet. People remember the governor did take a position against decrim last year when that passed the House, and he's never taken a public position on medical marijuana. So we're hopeful that, you know, if everything, and this goes through the House with a good margin, that the governor will see the sense in not opposing this. And that's, you know, we're gonna play our cards and hope the governor won't decide to become an obstacle.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Matt, so much for joining us here on The Stash and keeping us informed of what's happening up there in the New England states. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, Rush. Anytime.
Hello, I'm Casper Leach, host of Time for Hemp. When our politicians passed the Marijuana Tax Act in 1937, the citizens of the United States had no idea that a new civil war had begun. Now, after more than 7 decades of this war's escalation and spending well over $1 trillion of taxpayers' money, the result has been an arrest record of more than 37 million brothers and sisters for nonviolent drug offenses. Every year, we choose to continue this war. We do so at the cost of well over $69 billion. Add to this, we are building prisons faster than we are building schools. In fact, the prison industry is now one of the fastest growing industries in the United States. We must end this civil war. We can with your help. Please, join LEAP, the Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, and become part of the solution to ending the war on drugs. Go to leap.cc and find out how to become a member.
The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your Toker tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. Last month, I played this excellent song called No Seeds by Goose from his latest CD, The Salt Mine Sessions. Well, today we're listening to his equally great track called Cali, also on the Salt Mine Sessions. And Goose says of his new CD, quote, "Many hip-hop enthusiasts consider this new release the most significant and sought-after recording of our generation and a must-have for anyone who loves real hip-hop, one of the best rap albums of all time," end quote. Well, there's some humility for you. Now, No Seeds and Cali are nominated for 5 2009 Marijuana Music Awards in Song of the Year, Best Hip Hop, and Best Male categories, the latter of which Cali is entered in. You can vote for Goose's entries in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards at the Marijuana Music Awards website, marijuanamusicawards.com, or in our blog at stash.normal.org. The Salt Mine Session CD is available through CD Baby and Amazon.com, and you can hear more music by Goose at goosetunes.com. This is Goose with Cali.
I heard the rumors how it's easy getting shot out here, but there's nothing in the world like the pot out here. Plus the NYPD's not out here, and when it's cold back east, man, it's hot out here. So the fatties wear bikinis, and most of them are sluts. Marijuana's legal, so we always roll them blunts. We puff them in the papers, smoke them in the bongs. Kick it to the chickens on the beaches wearing thongs. It's better than the Bronx, that's for sure. A little medicine or marijuana, that's the cure. When it's 92 degrees, ain't no sweater for me. I'm in the sunshine chilling, dog, who's better than me? Starbucks eating a coconut patty, working on my laptop and jocking this fatty. Went to clubjenna.com and said look, then she slapped me in the face with the biology book. Honey, what's wrong? Ain't you heard the song? A fatty means a hot girl that's got it going on. And she was like, cool, come on, let's go. And she pulled out a blunt of this hella nice drove. Now we're puffing chronic, pumping Dr. Dre. She was rubbing on my leg, not a lot to say. Till she asked me if I ever had a sex on the beach. She wasn't talking about the drink or the figure of speech. One, two, mix it, no sleep. Catch the red eye, jet blue, exit row seat. Even walking through Kennedy, they scorching my name. I'm on my way to Los Angeles now, fortune and fame. First we're stopping at the cannabis store, cause my people got prescription for the finest of weed. The bud's legal and the girls seem nicer. They all want a bone, plus the tits grow bigger than them chicks back home. And the hair's much blonder and the ass is much fatter, and their teeth look whiter and they smile a lot. So come in, East Coast, can you read me? Peace out, you know where I'm at, if you need me.
Chalking fatties in the sunshine, cause we be out in Cali. Chalking fatties in the sunshine, cause you know.
Hi, this is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal.
We are the oldest, largest, and best-known marijuana law reform organization in America. And it's all because of your support. Take some time to join Normal at www.normalnorml.org. Your membership supports this podcast, our websites, our policy research and analysis, and our annual conferences. Changing marijuana laws is a grassroots effort, and it starts with you, the stakeholder. Join Normal today and add your voice to the millions of cannabis consumers who demand equality with our beer-drinking friends.
Well, it was my birthday this weekend, and I couldn't ask for much better presents than what I got in the news. First, I woke up on Saturday morning to hear the news of President Obama's half-brother being busted for marijuana in Kenya. Then we get the story of Michael Phelps being busted smoking a bong in a picture in a UK newspaper. Then we get the former marijuana bust of Santonio Holmes for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He wins the Super Bowl with the game-winning touchdown. So kind of the trifecta of celebrity and sports entertainment marijuana stories. And here to comment on this weekend's events is the director of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, Alan St. Pierre in Washington, D.C. Alan, welcome back to the show.
Good day, Russ.
Okay, like I said, kind of set it up for you there. We had three big stories here, and what do you think this kind of says as far as a message to the world out there about athletes and marijuana?
Well, not too surprisingly, anybody who's paid attention or in these last couple of years of being able to Google and put the word marijuana into your search engine, that you would find a week does not go by where a prominent American athlete, let alone a prominent world athlete, I mean, I know we don't care much about cricket or rugby in this country, but boy, do those people get popped in Australia and New Zealand and India just about every other day.
Yeah, we had the sumo wrestlers, the Russians in Japan.
Sumo wrestler. No wonder they're so big.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But yes, athleticism and cannabis, as much as the sponsors and the mainstream media and certainly our government does not want, they go hand in hand.
Yeah, you know, the thing that kind of surprises me about this, how the sports leagues like the NFL will come down so hard on marijuana use, and yet you got these guys on the sidelines that are, you know, running their bodies into each other and suffering concussions, and the team doctors are giving them all sorts of painkillers, and that always seems to be okay, but if they choose the safe alternative, they lose their endorsement contracts.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, Normal Advisory member Mark Stepnoski, who went to the Super Bowl three times and was picked as one of the top players of all time at his position in the NFL, a center of the Dallas Cowboys, he acknowledged the difficulty of wanting to be honest and transparent about his marijuana use as a professional athlete, and at the same time realizing it was a crushing pressure from the team physicians, from his lawyers, from his agents, from all of the, whether it was a small little car dealership or an endorsement for a food product or shoes. All of these things made it very hard for him to live the honest life he wanted to as a professional athlete, and I can certainly feel the same for Mr. Phelps.
Now, this is with regard to the NFL players. We saw Santonio Holmes get the winning touchdown in last night's Super Bowl. In the Super Bowl previous, Plaxico Burress had the winning touchdown, and he'd also had some encounters with law enforcement and marijuana. With regards to the NFL specifically and just these other sports leagues, what would be, you know, Normal's recommendation on how they could set a program here or some rules to deal with players' marijuana use without being so punitive about it?
Well, we could begin at the number one concern here, and that is the health of the athlete. So if the person uses marijuana, is it an unhealthy endeavor? Well, the pretty clear scientific evidence is if you use marijuana in moderation, there is little or no serious consequence on your health. Two, is marijuana a performance-enhancing drug? Well, maybe if you're going to do a food-eating contest, it could well be. But I think we can all acknowledge that when it comes to these sort of peak athletic performances, that marijuana, unlike, say, amphetamines or barbiturates, is not a performance-enhancing drug. So what are we left with? We're left with people like Mr. Phelps and Plaxico and Mr. Holmes being literally sacrificed on the altar of marijuana prohibition. If it were not for the prohibition of marijuana, their use of marijuana would be as consequential as their use, I do stress the word use as compared to abuse, because that will land you into the public eye, but the use of marijuana would be just as consequential as their use of alcohol.
Now, last Friday, Steve Bloom and I talked about this just a little bit, about how the NFL doesn't really seem to have a consistent way of dealing with their players that are busted for marijuana. Stars like Holmes and Burris seem to get more of a slap on the wrist, where if you're a second or third stringer, you might completely lose your job with the team there. And, looking at the Olympic athletes like Michael Phelps, they have more of a strict code. They have the anti-doping agency and so on, which just recently had decided that any athlete who was caught in a situation like Phelps's would be banned for a certain number of years, certainly long enough to preclude Phelps from competing in London in 2012. Do you anticipate that the World Anti-Doping Agency is going to make some sort of give some sort of leeway or way for Phelps to get out from under this because of, naturally the huge interest in him competing in 2012?
I think it's an absolute given, in the same way that Obama has had to create, shall we call them, waivers for some of his lobbyists.
Yeah.
I think in the same way, the agency, the doping, anti-doping agencies, and UN and the Olympics all are going to twist and turn on this one and very likely cut him some slack, and maybe, hopefully, with the input of groups like Normal and others and scientists, to keep pushing the idea here that this is not a performance-enhancing drug, and why should be any concern of the Olympics? Because if the Olympics are taking a world view, there are many parts of the world where marijuana use is inconsequential. It is legal. For example, in Alaska, our own state of Alaska, it is legal to consume and to have marijuana. It is not a crime in Mexico and almost all of South and Central America to possess marijuana. Of course, the Netherlands, you can buy marijuana over the counter. In India, the government sells marijuana at holiday time in the form of bong. So if the Olympics have tried to take a world view to their credit, but they have also, as you can imagine, strongly deferred and hewed towards America's anti-drugism and anti-marijuanaism and its pro-drug testing. But I think ultimately the Phelps case, unlike the Ross Rebliotti case, and I'm so glad that unlike that, this case, I wasn't getting woken up at 3:30 in the morning from a hysterical BBC reporter calling from Japan wanting to know about marijuana and drug testing, which is what happened when Ross Rebliotti had his gold medal taken away as a Canadian snowboarder, but that was the first test case for the Olympic Committee to figure out whether or not, should they really include marijuana as a performance-enhancing drug, and they clearly said, no, we shouldn't.
Yeah, and it seems to me like the bans here at the world and Olympic level are really just a way of enforcing a prohibitionist moralism more than anything else.
They are, and they should be based on science and safety and concern for the athlete. And there's no doubt, and it shouldn't sound too hyperbolic coming from me, that this is just one more example of my favorite 25-cent word from Dr. Lester Grinspoon at Harvard Medical, of a case of psychopharmacological McCarthyism.
Now, you mentioned President Obama. Of course, the other story this weekend was how his half-brother George in Kenya got busted with a little bit of marijuana. And I kind of quipped on the Stash blog that George shouldn't hold his breath about his brother mentioning anything about it, since it's been, 11 days now, and he hasn't mentioned people who were legally using marijuana in Tahoe. So what do you anticipate from the Obama administration regarding this news about his brother or half-brother?
Well, at some point, I imagine they're going to be asked the question, or his spokesperson, Mr. Gibbs, is going to be asked at a press conference today or tomorrow about that. It'd be interesting to see what he's going to say. Of course, they've already acknowledged that they barely know each other. They've only met one or two times when Obama's gone there to do research and meet with his family. Now, I should say that I think George Obama is very lucky to be George Obama in Kenya, because since his arrest, I've been doing some research on Kenya's laws and arrest patterns and the way people are treated, and wow, he is very lucky to have gotten out of there within the first 12 hours of being arrested. Kenya sounds like it has extremely harsh laws, and I pulled up some articles where people, there's little or no due process at all, so I'm sure he's very thankful his last name is Obama.
Mm-hmm. No kidding. Now, one last thing here, Alan. Speaking of that DEA raid, I had been bringing up on the stash and looking around some other mainstream media places. Alternative, I guess. Huffington Post, Alternate, and so on. Do you think the momentum is building here to call Obama on the hypocrisy of his medical marijuana stance and these DEA raids?
Yes, in fact, those stories have now moved outside of what could be described as sort of the internet counterculture, Huffington Post, and moved into the mainstream. I believe there's both Reuters and AP pieces now. I've read them in the Miami Herald and other publications. It is absolutely now getting around the country in a mainstream way, this notion. And matter of fact, I think the question in the headline is, what is Obama's stance on medical marijuana after California raids? So, if the media is paying attention, if they're doing their job, and I say that, you know, laughing here a block from the White House in Washington, D.C., because we probably wouldn't have had 70 years of marijuana prohibition if we had such a lapdog media. But if they were to ask him today, you know, hey, you've got this article going around the country about your boss and this raid, what say you? And one presumes they're either going to say, we inherited that raid. It happened just a few days after we took over the office, and it's not something we're going to move forward with. And that, of course, would make big news. Or they'll say, yeah, that we're just following through, and we're going to continue to raid that. And that, too, would be big news. The question is, will the media ask him the question?
You know, one of the answers that seems to be that we keep getting back, or the frame at least that we're getting back, is, we got so many bigger fish to fry, so much more to do, the economy and the wars and the terrorism and the Wall Street and so on. What's your response to that?
Well, it's true they do have big things on their plate. At the same time, if you want to get the little goofy things off your plate readily with a flick of the pen and face no real political consequence whatsoever for it, then do these little things around the edges. And what are those things? One, allow, say, my alma mater, the University of Massachusetts, to grow marijuana and to actually allow it to be used for research. That wouldn't say anything about legalizing or decriminalizing. He could allow so that, again, the federal government does not waste taxpayer dollars raiding buyers and collectives out in California and other states that have medical marijuana. He could, for example, stop the Bush administration's 8-year charge into trying to drug test every child that attends a public school in the United States. All these little things they can tweak and dial back from and exercise out from the current budgets and the current momentum that the Bush administration had been building for 8 years on all these different topics. He could yank the Drug-Free America commercials. He could cut the DARE program. All these things could be done with just a flick of the pen.
Alan St. Pierre is the executive director of Normal in Washington, D.C. Check out the website, norml.org. And the phone numbers,
888-67-NORMAL.
888-67-NORMAL. Give them a call, check them out on the web, and get involved, get educated, get informed, and let's bring an end to this adult marijuana prohibition. Alan, thanks again for joining us here on The Stash.
My pleasure. Thank you, Russ.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with reminders that the legislatures of your states are in session, so check out your local Normal chapter or the national alerts page at norml.org. A lot of things to keep track of. New Hampshire's got a DUID bill, HB 575. Oregon's got a couple of medical marijuana bills, one good, one bad. You've got a Montana bill that's coming up for a hearing. In Kentucky, another one of these per se DUID bills coming up. There's just so much to keep track of. Check it all on our new Activists Agenda calendar at stash.normal.org. And if you want to get your events on the calendar, send me an email at stash@normal.org, and I'll teach you how to do it. Thanks for joining us for the podcast. We've got a great week of stuff coming up for you here on the Daily Audio Stash, and we look forward to talking to you every day here at stash.normal.org. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.